a young boy, small in appearance, yet handsome, according to the Bible, taking out the big Goliath on the field of battle when nobody expected him to be able to do that. Nobody thought that he had the power or the ability or any battle sense whatsoever to fight a warrior like Goliath was. And yet, David prevailed for one reason only, because God was with him, and he knew God was with him that day, and so he didn't fear at all. Thought we'd start with a joke this morning. I don't have many jokes, as you know, but occasionally I can be funny whether I mean to or not. But I saw this when I was preparing for this sermon, and it said, Christians are like tea bags. You ever heard this? Christians are like tea bags? You don't know what kind you are until you get into hot water. Okay, we're going to get into a little hot water this morning, much like David was in hot water, or really more accurately, Goliath was in the hot water. But it's just one of those things we all have to go through in life. And so I'm going to start by saying it never fails, does it? Just when you think you're going to have some peace and quiet at your house or your office or wherever you are, someone comes to the door, or the telephone rings, or you get a text message, or the baby cries, or water pipe breaks, the boss calls for you, and that's generally never good. It could be anything. And you also know that the later the news comes at night, the worse it's likely to be. Peace is so precious, isn't it? And yet sometimes it's so elusive that we don't even know what peace is. We're going to face many storms in our life, and we're going to talk about storms this morning. Most of our storms are not like the ones that we hear about in the news, though. Terrorist attacks, school shootings, car accidents, suicides, homicides, you name it. Nor will our storm be like the one that David had dealing with Goliath. Not at all. Our storms are usually just our everyday kind of storms, ordinary struggles, if you will. Sickness, loss of work, loss of a loved one. Not that these are any less important or any less real. They're just different in their magnitude and scope. In the Gospel of Mark that we're going to study a portion of today, Jesus and the disciples have been tremendously busy doing ministry up until we read in Mark chapter 4, in the first verse, Mark tells us, again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. So this is the very first verse of chapter 4. There are so many people that Jesus had to retreat to the sea so that he could have a little separation between him and the people. Why? Because the people were always pressing against him, always wanted to touch him for his healing power, always wanted to be near him. The crowds were huge. There were so many people, it was easier for Jesus to teach from the boat than it was on dry land. So that he got into the boat and sat on it on the sea to have that separation. There was no rest that day until Jesus gave the disciples an offer that they couldn't refuse. Let's listen to what happened at the end of the day when we pick up our gospel reading from verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them on the boat, just as he was. And other boats went along as well. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Like I said, it was the end of a busy day, and Jesus had made a great offer to the disciples to go to the other side. We can relax, we can eat, we can hang out. Sounds like a pretty great plan to me. Sounded like a great plan to them, too. But let's look at really what happened. The key to understanding the story lies in the one important question of whose idea was it to get in the boat in the first place? Did you not see the storm looming? Probably not. So let's go back and look at the text again, and the answer is actually very, very plain. At the end of the busy day, a day where they'd spent hours ministering to the needs of the people, after giving and giving and giving of themselves, it was Jesus that said, let's go to the other side. And the disciples all knew what he meant, and I'm sure they were tired and they were hungry and they were thrilled at this offer, not to have to fight the crowds on the shore, but to get in the boat and sail away to get to the other side where there would have been fewer people. The crowds were huge and they were growing with each passing day as Jesus was further and further into his ministry. Everywhere they went, there was a crowd. They came to listen. They came to learn. They came to find healing from the Master. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to touch his garments. Day after day, they came wanting to hear and desperately wanting to be near him. It all started very well, this trip to the other side did. As the boat left the western shore, the lake was calm and Jesus decided to sleep. Well, he's tired after all. He was just like a human in that regard. So he lay down, resting on a cushion in the back of the boat. But it's not unusual for storms to suddenly emerge on the Sea of Galilee late in the day. All was calm one minute, and before they knew it, they were engulfed in this big storm. So they might not have even known the storm was coming when they got in the boat to go to the other side. I suspect Jesus knew. Teachable moment, you've heard that, right? The winds picked up, the clouds gathered, and the waves were crashing into the boat, and water was filling the boat. As the water entered, the disciples furiously tried to bail it out, but the water rushed in faster than they could bail it. The boat bobbed up and down as wave after wave crashed into it. Nothing could be more terrifying than to be on a boat in the darkness of the storm as it takes on water and slowly begins to sink. Finally, the disciples woke Jesus up, asking him a question we've all asked in times of desperation. They cried out, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? Actually, the disciples were asking, Lord, don't you care that we're about to be utterly destroyed in a painful and gruesome death? It's not really different from the questions we ask the Lord when we're feeling that way, is it? We've been down that road before. We've asked, Lord Jesus, don't you care that my child is sick? Lord Jesus, don't you care that my marriage is falling apart? Lord Jesus, don't you care that my friends have all deserted me? Lord Jesus, don't you care that I have no money? Lord Jesus, don't you care that I feel so alone? Lord Jesus, don't you care that I want to give up? Lord Jesus, don't you care that my spouse has died? Lord Jesus, don't you care that I've lost my job? Our list of questions like this can be endless. Finally, sometimes we're simply crying out, hello, is anybody home? Is anybody listening? Does anybody care? And it made me think at this point, it's like Kate Winslet in the film Titanic. You know, this other boat that was sinking, 1912. But we feel like our questions and prayers are not being answered. And we've asked that question a million ways and a million different times. We never question the Lord's compassion when things are going well, do we? But God's compassion is not measured by our circumstances, nor is his kindness limited to our understanding. God cares just as much when the storms are raging as when the seas are calm. His mercy is not limited to the shining sun or the stillness of the waves. When he woke, Jesus spoke three words, peace, be still. Or in another translation, quiet, be still. The wind died down, the storm calmed. Folks that live on water will confirm to you that storms don't really calm down all that quickly as a rule. The wind can settle down pretty quick. That's not a big deal. But the waves on the water are generally agitated enough that they kind of keep going for a while after the wind stops. They keep rolling in because there's not much to stop them. So the waves keep rolling for a while, and yet when the Son of God speaks, the storm and the waves calm right down. That proves to us Christ's divinity, that he has dominion over us and our hearts, over the sea, over the earth, and over the wind. Let there be no doubts in our mind at all, that even the winds and the waves obey him. Just like that, storm is over. It's encouraging that Jesus rebuked the storm and not the terrified disciples. To them, he simply said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Implicit in those words is a lesson that we all need to learn, I'm sure. The disciples were afraid because they were used to being in control of their lives. They knew how to handle hard situations. Most of them were fishermen. There wasn't a weakling among them. And yet, when put in a life-threatening situation beyond their control, their faith in themselves turned to fear. But instead of putting them down, Jesus simply says, "Have you still no faith?" And the answer is yes, and the answer is no. They had faith in Jesus. They truly, truly believed in him. They woke him because they knew that he could do something about the storm. While they might not have known exactly what, they knew and trusted in Jesus. They knew he would take action. But their faith, though real, was not yet full grown. And how do you get the faith that enables you to survive the storms of life? How do you get the faith that enables you to survive the storms of life? The only answer I know is to get in the boat with Jesus and go with him wherever he wants to go, even when it makes no sense. If he calls you, he will go with you. He will be there. Now, he won't necessarily make everything unicorns and sunshine for you. He doesn't promise that. But he will be there with you. He will support you, and he will love you, and he will be there. Sometimes we need to go through the storms in order to discover our faith. Sometimes we need to go through the storms to realize when the good times are, because sometimes they're hard to differentiate. We wish we didn't have to go through storms at all. We wish they didn't exist. We wish we didn't have to go through hardships of any kind, even though those hardships help to grow and mature and discover more about ourselves and our life. But the fact is, there are storms in our lives, every one of us. Sometimes we create them, right? Self-inflicted, if you will. Sometimes others create them. The storms, I mean. Others create the storms for us. And God knows about the storms. All the time, God knows about the storms. There are no storms which are a surprise to God. So it is for all of us who follow Jesus. There are no shortcuts in the storms of life either. The storms of life are not a detour. They are not a mistake. They are not a trick or a trap, and they are not sent to destroy you. They are not sent to destroy you. Your storms are not a surprise to God, because God's expectation of us when we're in these situations is that we will cry out to the Lord in utter desperation, asking, "Lord, don't you care that I am perishing?" And in that moment, while in the midst of the storm, when the waves are crashing and you feel like you're drowning, in that moment, the Lord may stand and declare, "Peace, be still." And those words aren't just meant for the storm. I think those words are meant for us. Be quiet. Be still. Listen for God. All of us have moments. Most of us have many of them when we feel utterly alone and utterly forgotten by God. When life crashes in around us, even after we've tried to do all the right things, there are still times when we feel God has completely left us. There is no avoiding those moments of utter despair. But in those moments, we have a choice to make. Either we choose to believe that the Lord is not surprised and will use the storm for his own purposes and good and will ultimately come out of the storm. And that may mean we never know the good, but we trust that good will come. Or we choose to believe that the Lord has abandoned us, and we become bitter and distant from the Lord. And fortunately, that is the time when some folks fall away from God, turn their backs on Him. And I've seen it happen many, many, many times. There was a chaplain back in St. Louis, in a big hospital that I worked in. He turned his back on God, walked away entirely. Still was a chaplain working at this hospital. I don't remember what he was, Universalist, something non-religious. And yet he could still minister to patients in the hospital, patients and their families. He could pray like the best of them, but he didn't believe his own words. I don't understand how you do that. I couldn't do that. My wife knows. I can't be very false, ever. I don't believe we can manipulate God into avoiding storms or somehow making them suddenly disappear. I'm sorry. If anything, this story is meant to teach us quite the opposite. Sometimes our path takes us into the storm. Sometimes we see the clouds gathering and know it's coming. More often the wind suddenly rises up and our life, which had been so smooth and so well planned, suddenly turns upside down and we begin to sink beneath the waves. But when that happens, there's a couple of things to remember. If you are with Jesus, if Jesus is in your heart and in your life, two things. The boat will never sink. And the storm will not last forever. Boat will never sink. Storm won't last forever. You can get through this. We all seem to think that for Christians, we should have some type of immunity. Some sort of get out of jail free card. Or don't even go to jail, like in Monopoly. Bad things should not happen to Christians. And when they do, we're shocked. Wondering, how could this happen? I paid my insurance. I went to church. I gave my money. I helped. I served. I've been kind to my neighbors. So why is this happening to me? Isn't God supposed to watch out for me? Doesn't He protect those that He loves? Yeah, He does. It makes no sense at the moment, and maybe it will never make complete sense to us. But yet we are called to trust in Jesus all the time. To trust that His plan is the perfect plan. And whatever plans that we made don't really matter. We're here for Christ. We're here under His plan. So I ask you a question here this morning. Are you in a storm in this very moment? You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but if you are, you are not there by accident. But perhaps by your Father's design. He does not intend to hurt you, even though you feel like screaming because your pain is so great. You're not alone, even though it may feel that way. You may have lost everything. Remember Job? He lost it all. But you have not lost the Lord. He is still with you. He promises never to fail you or abandon you. Remember what the Lord told Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you may go. Yes, be strong. Be filled with courage. The Lord is with you. No, don't despair. Don't be afraid, for the Lord our God, Jesus Christ, is with you. Fear not. Keep believing. The master of the sea and air and the earth is with you. And when you look back, when you get that opportunity to look back, you will see that your faith has grown stronger by the storm that you passed through. What a Christ we serve. Even the winds and the waves obey Him. Glory to you, Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me and sing hymn number 443, Trust and Obey?